Hello, everyone. Welcome to Science Unscripted. It's Connor here.
And Gabe.
And we've got birds for you. A big old bundle of birds.
I'm in for a surprise. You've got a textbook open and some sheets of paper.
A couple of studies
here. The only thing I know is that this is about birds.
It is about birds. And it's not good news, unfortunately. The research comes out of the UK, from the University of East Anglia in Norwich. And what they've shown is that the population of birds has declined. Now, that's probably not a big surprise to anyone who's been listening to the show. Gabe, you and I, three years ago, we went up to a city here in Germany called Krefeld.
Yeah.
And did some reporting on how, what was the number? I think 78%.
Of flying insects have disappeared.
Yeah.
From protected areas in this state, in this federal state in Germany, in protected areas, it's about an 80% decline in flying insects. So you would assume that based on that, that also birds are dying off?
Well, there must be some consequence, right? If you've got, I don't know, one out of four flying insects to eat as compared to, I think that the time frame was 25 years earlier, then surprise, surprise, there aren't going to be as many birds. The authors here in the research that I'm about to quote haven't made that connection. That's the connection that I've made. But yeah, a similar time span, what these folks have done, the research was led by a guy named Simon Butler. They looked at 200,000 bird sites across North America and Europe over a course of 20 years. And this is the kind of weird part, because what they did is they relied on data. You've got this these days once a year or a couple days per year where people go outside and they document the number of birds they see at a given location.
So they're counting.
They're
counting birds.
Counting birds. People are sitting and they do this every single year.
Is that scientific enough? Because I was the insect study, they were collecting insect mass in these malaise traps. That was foolproof. Compared to counting.
Well, human beings are prone to error, that's for sure. But if they're making the same errors every year over time, then in a way that bias should be kind of removed from the data.
Okay.
And what they did is they came up with a total of 1,000 bird species that had been documented by these people going out and counting them. And here's the part where it gets interesting. What they did is, based on how often birds were seen and where, they took a 5-minute blank audio file. I know, Gabe, you'll be familiar with what that looks like. Our listeners, maybe not. It's 5 minutes of empty tape. And they sort of digitally placed bird calls in that 5 minutes of tape to reflect how many birds would have been seen there that year. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So if someone saw five crows in 1998 and then three crows at the same spot in the year 2016, then you would hear five crow calls, you know, way back when, and three this time.
Five individual calls compared to three, or is it an amplitude change?
It's a numbers game.
Okay.
So why don't we go ahead and listen to what these researchers found? If we could go and hear the first audio file. And
what year is this?
This is what it would have sounded like in the late 1990s. Yeah.
Don't make me name all those calls.
Could you get a couple of them?
Woodpecker?
And a pigeon. Definitely heard a pigeon there.
Yeah.
That was pretty good, Gabe.
Thank you.
Okay, so that's close to 25 years ago, let's say. More than 20 years ago. Now let's go ahead and listen to what it would sound like comparatively today.
The image I have in my mind is like comparing a rainforest, which was the initial sound, to something that's been had the trees removed.
There's
less mass, less volume.
I visualize a almost like a farmer's field that's just been, I don't know, scalped. There's almost nothing there.
Yeah. You see those pictures of what's gone down in Brazil. The rainforest has been cleared out.
Yeah. So what I like about this study. That's part of the reason I got into contact with the researchers and said, please send me your audio files, because they weren't in the study itself, is that by converting data into something we can hear, you can really feel that change suddenly.
No, I could definitely feel that, yeah.
Yeah, and the question I had after, you know, first hearing this and feeling it myself was, okay, this feels important, right? That's not a good thing to have fewer birds or less bird song. But how important is that, really? Do we need that as human beings? Does it, it's, you know, the fact that we you pictured a rainforest and then trees chopped down, how important is that to us human beings?
To human beings. And also, what has caused this? Is that also a question, something that we can talk about or theorize?
I've already speculated with the decline in flying insects. I'm sure that the loss of habitats has a part to play in it as well. There could possibly be some
pollution
issues related. Well, I was going to say climate change. Yeah. I know is affecting, for example,
migratory birds for sure.
The cuckoo bird here in Germany. Probably a lot of different factors involved. But the focus of this study wasn't so much on that. It was more that, like, look, this is what it sounds like. And within the last couple of years, there have been other studies trying to figure out completely independently how relevant that is to us humans. Does it matter? You know, like, what if there were no birds calling outside? Would it really matter to me as a person? Could I live with that and be fine? And what I ended up stumbling across was someone who really actually tried to answer that. This was Danielle Ferraro. She's from the California Polytechnic State University. And in December of last year, so about a year ago, she and her colleagues, their research was published. And it was, I thought it was pretty interesting. They went to some sections of trail in the U.S. state of Colorado, where hikers were going to be walking through anyway. And they surveyed the hikers at the end of it. You know, how happy were you out there? How do you feel? What are your emotions right now? And how much did you actually enjoy this experience being out in nature? And so they did surveys and they got a kind of baseline. And then they went out and they hid some speakers in the middle of these trails and artificially enriched it with birdsong. And surprise, surprise.
That's manipulation, isn't it?
It's actually, as far as I understand, it's kind of against the rules in terms of you don't want to trick other birds into thinking there are birds there.
Okay. What effect did that have on the hikers?
I'm quoting right here. It says, on the first section of the trail, hikers who heard more birdsong simply reported that they felt better, but didn't comment that they thought more birds lived along that part of the trail. Hikers who heard more birdsong on the other section said that they thought more birds lived along that section of the trail. And researchers found this perception of more species was responsible for making hikers feel better. They liked the idea that there were more birds out there. And part of the reason I like this study a lot is I think usually if you're trying to, I don't know, identify whether or not birds are making human beings happy, it's tough to remove the fact that they're already in nature. And so they're probably happier anyway. You know what I mean? Hmm. So this one really kind of isolates the bird song as something that can stand on its own as, an oral, meaning something that you can hear, element that would make people happier.
Mm. No, I totally understand that conclusion that, I mean, birds do make us happier.
They do. And
it's almost like a cliche that when you go out in the morning, fresh cut grass, birds chirping, is almost the first thing you would say when you think about a cheerful mood in the morning.
Exactly.
The birds chirping.
Except here's where it gets more nuanced. This was a study. Her name's Eleanor Ratcliffe. She does environmental psychology at the University of Surrey in the UK. And, okay, this was an online test. Only 175 British residents were involved in it. And they brought 50 bird songs into play. And the birds were from the UK and from Australia. And one of the birds, I was surprised they brought this bird into it. We can go ahead and pull that audio up and let you see.
What? It's a chicken.
Yeah, that is definitely a chicken. And so that was one of the birds in question. I was shocked by that one. That didn't fit what I expected.
Okay. But and the next one's going to be a screeching owl or what?
Unbelievable. An owl is coming. But one of the people there said that, yes, that chicken sound made her really happy because it reminded her of her childhood when she would work in the garden and pick slugs out of the garden and throw them to the chickens. Chickens eat slugs. That was new to me. But so you mentioned owl. Mm-hmm. That's the next, one of the next ones that they played for people.
Yeah, but that's a hoot. That's an owl hoot. That's a very pleasant sound compared to the screech of like a barnyard owl.
So now you're starting to get into the nuanced aspect of it. Not all birds are equal. So
or a crow or a raven. I mean, those are pretty nasty sounds.
Yeah, so other birds, or let me put it this way, owls, it kind of depends on how you feel about owls. Because for some people, owls, they remind you of the nighttime. It's scary, it's dark, they're kind of this, they're ominous, like death is around the corner. And if that's how you feel, you're not going to like that sound. On the other hand, if you think of wisdom or Harry Potter.
Harry Potter.
I was going to say, yeah.
So, I'm on book three. Do not go any further.
Okay. Then you have a very different interpretation of the owl. Yeah, finally, one of the birds you mentioned, crows. The one I've got here is one of my least favorite sounds here in Germany. We've got them all over the trees. And what you are hearing there are magpies. Magpies, beautiful,
magpies.
Yeah, beautiful feathers, black, white, and they've got this kind of blue streak. Uh-huh. I like looking at them, but their call is just kind of ugly. And those birds, along with pigeons, are often on the list. That beautiful. I think there's a. No, that's not a pigeon anymore. Those birds don't necessarily make people happier if they hear them. It's a negative reminder of a part of the, I don't know, outdoor environment that they're just...
Because there are so many of them? And they're always around?
Yeah, and there's a lot of poop.
Synonymous with bird
Yeah, it is.
Really?
Especially if you're going anywhere in an underpass, you got to watch out where you step.
Pigeon crap everywhere.
Yeah, so what it all comes down to is that bird song... is therapeutic, but it
depends on the bird.
It depends on the person.
On the person, okay.
You have your own kind of unique makeup of which birds make you happy. And so if you're trying to improve your mental health or make yourself feel better, then you should sort of, I don't know, select the bird cocktail that'll most do that for you.
And is it a truly subjective thing, or has that been objectified that we as a culture or as a society all like the sound of a certain bird and all don't like the sound of another bird? Or is it truly a subjective?
My guess is that it's partially subjective, but then on the other hand, we have evolved alongside these things, right?
They're prehistoric.
And ever since the, I don't know, division of our chimpanzee-like ancestors into us, they've been with us the whole way. And so there is a lot of evolutionary basis for saying, look, we like hearing these things because we've always been around them. And secondly, if you're hearing a lot of birds, that first audio clip, where it's really rich, you can visualize that. And what do you visualize? There's water around. There's that wherever that is, it sustains life. You've got berries, you've got nuts, things that can be eaten.
There's
and sustained.
Other nature there. Yeah.
Yeah, and so for a human being, for a Homo sapien wandering around in a new environment, clear indication that this place is...
Even if the bird's not there, it's just a recording with some from some hidden speakers.
Must have been
so
bizarre.
In Colorado.
Yeah. What is going on here? I think they're in that rock.
I don't like that study at all. Wow, thank you for this, Connor.
Yeah, birdsong. Also, this.
What's the takeaway here?
You mentioned. Sorry, last thing I'll say here. I brought a book.
Play birdsong if you can.
Well, get yourself
listen to
out.
More birds?
One thing I forgot to say is it turns out that it is very subjective. It's not just the birds, but people who like being outdoors, they like birdsong. People who don't like going outside don't necessarily appreciate or don't become happier by hearing it. So it is up to you, to the listeners out there, to determine what you like and don't like. But if you're on the birdsong side of the argument, if you like hearing these things out there, then you should be alert to the fact now that it's quieter out there and something that in the environment that you really would have restored you sometimes after work, before work, it's gone, part of it, not all of it. And there are a lot of...
How do we not become depressed about this? This is sad news then.
Yeah. Then all of those little attempts to restore bird habitats or to restore environments where there are a lot of insecticides, for example, killing off bugs that birds eat. I guess the takeaway there is
to stop
that. Not that you're the person listening to this is directly doing that, but to support measures to encourage more sustainable practices that would keep these birds out there and alive and singing to us.
One takeaway, possibly make a tape with your favorite bird song on it and play it?
Yeah, you could, actually. You know what?
Would that work?
Now that you say that, you've reminded me of the last piece of audio that I forgot was even there. Go ahead and pull it up. This is something I recorded with my smartphone and that I play for myself maybe once every 3 to 6 months.
I think think I heard a rooster there.
Could be.
In the distance. In the foreground, I don't know what that bird is.
I believe...
Or birds.
Because I didn't really see them. I believe it was a kind of finch. A chaff finch is the most common bird on this island. And this island was the island of Hvar in Croatia. And what I wrote as the title to that piece of audio when I recorded it was 4:40 a.m. on Hvar. Because that was a mixture of joy and annoyance. They were loud. I don't even know if my phone caught that. They woke me up at 4:40 in the morning. They were so loud. But at least I have that audio. Yeah.
And so when you replay that, are you happy?
I am.
Or actually annoyed?
I'm happy because I'm not, you know, I'm not woken up at 4:40 after like 4 hours of sleep.
Okay.
And so, that would be a takeaway for all the people out there. Pull out your, if you hear really beautiful bird song, pull out your phone. Capture it with your voice dictation app. They come pre-installed. Keep that with you. And if you're ever feeling bummed, play some birdsong.
Science Unscripted.